Welcome After Buzzers on tonight's Queen Sugar finale episode after show. We talk a new chapter in Ralph Angel's life, Vi and Hollywood's surprise wedding, and Charlie's triumph. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin. I wanna
be the only one. Welcome, AfterBuzzers. We are back for another last show. Man,
is Queen Sugar really finale. Last show?
Why? Again, guys, I am your host for the last time this season, Shaka Smith, joined by my lovely co-host.
Oh my gosh, is this really happening?
Oh my God.
My mind is blown right now, guys. Wow. Oh, so sad. It's your girl, Miss Kenny. We almost forgot my name. I don't know what to say. Like, this is the last show. We got family.
Guys,
family's
I'm
back.
So happy and blessed to be back. You know I love this show. You know I love this panel. So, Thelma and Baisley, Daniel, it's an honor to be here.
And it's me, your emotional roller coaster from this episode, Takira Shabre. Lovely to see you guys again.
And shout out to our sister, Sally. She misses you guys and loves you. So she is here in spirit.
Always.
But let us go over our overall thoughts of this finale.
Oh, my gosh. Listen, first of all, I just want to say that my prayers have been answered. One of the things that I've been hoping and praying for all season was for my girl Charlie just to get a little love. And Romero has come to save the day. So I am glad to see her smiling and she's dancing. I haven't seen her dance like in all three seasons. So I was like, okay,
well, that's a little offbeat enough.
It was a dance. It was a dance. So that's good.
I know, right?
Okay, for me, what was the best thing this episode, overall thoughts? I just think that I want to give a big shout out to Cassandra. I think she did a great job show running this season and also doing this episode. I thought it was wonderful. I thought everything about it was beautiful, but we'll get into more detail soon.
For me, the takeaway and the overall thought is Micah has his voice.
Whoa. Yeah.
That was the biggest moment for me in this episode. I mean, obviously, there's a lot. There's, you know, the wedding and stuff we'll get to. But that, to me, brought the tears, brought the feeling, brought the goosebumps. But it was amazing.
I was just happy they wrapped it up nicely. You know, sometimes you get the cliffhanger and, like, you have to wait till next season. It was just nice to get some good writing, good acting, and, like, fulfillment at the end. The wedding was, like, amazing for me. I'd said all throughout the season I would get these amazing episodes, but I was unhappy at the end of the episode. You know, like, things are just up in the air. But finally we got a nice payoff, so I was really just fulfilled. Let's go right into it. Ralph Angel in this new chapter that we see kicking off at the start of this episode. It was interesting to see Ralph Angel in this new light.
Oh my God, listen to me. I've been in love with Ralph Angel since day one.
That we know.
This is the Ralph Angel that I knew that he could always be. So Ralph, listen, man, I'm here. But it's okay because I'm going to step aside and I'm going to allow Darla to step back and be that woman that I know that she can be. But I am so just proud of the maturity and the growth of his character. Mm-hmm. You know, just he's so smart. He's a leader. He's really doing his thing. And it just makes me so proud to see.
No, I agree with you completely, because for me, I love seeing Ralph Angel free. I love seeing Ralph Angel understand that he is something, the same way he was telling those young men. I thought that was so important. That was such an important episode and scene for them to see. But at the same time, I love how he told Darla, Blue is my only concern right now, because the underlying tone of all of this is the love story between Blue and Ralph Angel. They're the ones who are truly soulmates, in my opinion. And I think it's beautiful because they bring up this question of what is family? Now they have you questioning how much, you know, biology really has anything to do with family when it comes to love, when the love is there, when the love is strong. So I'm very proud of Ralph Angel and see everything he's doing.
Yeah, and I think my small note, ditto on all of this, but my small note is I appreciate that he's taken his time. He's like, look, Trent, I really appreciate her. He stood his ground because he was like, she showed me a different world. Oh. And that's a tough thing to tell the mother of your child, and biological or not, but it's his son. But that's a tough thing to just be like, look, don't get it twisted. I know what I appreciate. I know the woman that she is. It just like when they tried to introduce this whole halfway house or, you know, just the reentry program, he's like, look, I'm taking it slow. I'm taking my time. So I appreciate that because he's learning to respect and love and embrace his own journey.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that you said that because I agree 100%. I think just his purpose is starting to be revealed.
Yes.
You know, like his purpose is so much greater than just the farm. Like when he had that one look back and he looked at the female prisoners and as they were lining up and even that moment at the very end, what's the gentleman's name? His correctional officer.
Randall Orson.
Yes.
His little team.
Yeah.
Like
I just want to say that, you know, he's just like, you know, we want to see you being more involved. And I think like they're planting these seeds. And I think that the evolution of his character next season is going to be amazing.
You mean the parole officer?
Yes, the parole officer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I thought you meant the officer that did Micah.
No, I'm sorry, guys.
I got you. His parole officer.
Yes, the
giving
parole
him
officer.
That inspiration.
Absolutely. So I just can't wait to see how he walks in his purpose next season and how it's really going to impact others because it's really hitting him.
Yeah.
And that is such a beautiful moment.
Yeah, like echoing that, for me, the past few seasons, he's been very, he hasn't had that much range in terms of, as a person, because he's been boxed in.
Yes.
And it's like having a new freedom. Mm-hmm. And so getting him, watching him dream about
that
things in the future.
Yeah, new freedom.
Yeah, and so, and just, I love the full circle moments that we got here. And it was a full circle moment for him to be mentoring these other inmates, but he's just coming out of it himself. So it's like.
Not even out yet.
Yeah, he's not really
out. Not even
out
yet, 30 days from.
Yeah, and so I don't think he had a chance to even reflect on it before he was telling them what to do. And then you get that moment where he's like, thinking about him going through it and getting to tell him. So I just love the growth, and I love the fact that we see Ralph Angel smile in this episode.
Yes.
We see different layers of Ralph Angel.
It's
so
therapy for him, too.
I was just telling you your testimony.
It's therapy. And I love the fact that he's not the only one that told his truth and got his burden off.
Yeah.
And, I mean, obviously, this has been a trend for the kind of an entire season, but it's therapy for him too.
Yeah,
it really is, because I feel like the wonderful thing about this season is it left me with mantras that I took into my own life. You know, like episode 310, when she said, come back to yourself, I said, come to my home, okay? Live with me. This is my, because that's what life is about, right? Coming back to yourself, that journey of self. And then when Nova said to Micah, you are who I think you are.
Yeah.
And then this episode, to see Micah say, tell everyone, you know, we are the ones we're waiting for. I think for Ralph Angel, when he's sitting down and he's talking to those inmates, I would even argue that some of those words that he's saying, like saying he was in the shower crying, he probably hasn't told that to anyone, not even himself.
Yeah.
So it's all those three things coming into one another, and it's like, Ralph Angel, you are the person that we are all waiting for, and you are the person that we think that you are. You can really become this.
It was amazing. Yes. And that was all in the first 10 minutes.
We have to give a shout out again to our live chat, because our live chat has been going season. You know, like, they've been waiting, they've been ready, like they've been coming with the facts.
The voting.
They've been voting, you know. Dirty Darling. You know, like they've been hanging on to every moment. Even now, you know, they're talking about the beginning of the episode, and Hampton Blue, she said that this episode took my soul higher.
Yeah.
You know, like, I agree, girl. That's so beautifully put, and thank you for saying that. We agree.
Especially because they kind of beat us up this season. They really did.
You guys had your favorites and you were saying what you thought, but I love it, and I appreciate you guys for being such a faithful live chat to such an amazing show.
You guys are awesome.
For sure.
And hopefully you guys in the live chat are subscribed to our AfterBuzz Dramas channel. I think Takira's got some more words to say about that.
Yeah, if you're not, then, you know, we'll give you a couple seconds to do so. But look, AfterBuzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, not just Queen Sugar, but from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is absolutely no network that works harder to serve television fans. But look, we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more, because, you know, we got more of our YouTube channels. But by subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that is tailor-made, fit just for you, that you'll enjoy, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. If you're worried about those pesky notifications, look, don't be. They are completely optional. You can turn them off. So hit that subscribe button right now, right below or in the corner, whichever way you're looking at it. all right, you hit it. Thank you. Right there at the channel. But let us know that you did, because I know that you did. But leave a comment in our live chat, blowing up, comment in our YouTube, and we will thank you on air. But for now, just thank you for being the absolute best team, best extended panel, best fans, best television lovers, all of that wrap into one to help us be the ESPN of TV talk. We love you.
Amen. Wow.
Ah. Tequila took us to church on that one, right? You're going to be watching the Takara show soon. Yes.
Love it.
Yes.
Love it.
Yes. I claim that for her. I received that on your behalf, sister. When somebody puts a word like that out there, you have to be like, I take it. I claim it. It's mine.
Yes. Right.
There were a lot of words in this episode that got me feeling that way.
Well, you got that Charlie swagger. And we had Charlie triumphing this entire episode. But before we even get to the Landry triumph, let's give a little aside to Micah, because that's still a Charlie triumph.
No, it's not a side. He gets a whole stage.
Can we all give him an ovation? We can't stand, but we don't give you an ovation.
Yeah,
listen to me. I just want to say, like, growth, that has been the word for the entire season.
Yes.
His character, I was a little nervous for a second, but we cannot forget that Nova's blood and Charlie's blood runs through his veins, and he made it very clear on today's episode.
Yes. Was I the only one that had to get off the stage though? Right.
No.
in the beginning, because I was like.
No, Charlie was gonna jump in. I'm like, Charlie, do not do it.
And the truth about Charlie is, I love Charlie so much. I love her so much. But sometimes her confidence, her overconfidence, comes at the cost of her self-awareness. When they were having the rehearsal and Micah was on stage, it's okay, you're gonna stumble. You know what I mean? It's okay to stumble a little bit.
Let him stumble.
Yeah. She tried a little bit. But I think what I noticed about that scene is how he reclused to his aunt Nova.
Mm-hmm.
The beauty about the relationship between he and Nova is just, it's so deep, it's so interwoven, and for me it really hit that mark when he came out of jail and he had those pee going down his pants, and Nova saw that and took her jacket off and wrapped it around him.
Bonded them.
That was a moment for Nova and Micah, and he comes back to his source. And I think that, you know, when you have aunts and uncles, you have your parents, but there are certain aunts and uncles that you have that special kind of relationship with, you know? And I love that Nova is always there for him, always there to kind of catch him when his mom either realizes that he falls or doesn't. Mm-hmm. So that's a really wonderful thing to see. But I'm very proud of Micah. He's walking in who he is completely.
Oof. Yeah.
Without apology. And that's how he needs to be doing it.
Mm. Yeah.
I just love to hear these ladies talk. I do.
I'm just like,
I feel like we're watching the after show. I'm like, let's go on.
Let me be devil's advocate a little bit about Micah. First of all, I was proud that he stepped up, and I was proud that he found his voice. But I'm thinking to myself, you're finding your voice when you know that you just kind of are guilty of arson and your friend just went up the river. And at any moment, you could be taken down. And a brief aside, y'all have seen what's gone on with the Me Too Asia Argento deal, where she's the leader of the Me Too kind of thing, and now it may seem that she's also had some malfeasance. And that immediately came to my mind, where it was like, is the leader of this cause going to be this guy that's taken down because he also has his past?
I think.
Will it get him more scrutiny
I'll
now?
I'll say this. Yeah. I think that having had gone through what he went through, I think that is also what has given him the strength to speak up. I think because of that moment, watching his friend go through what he went through, knowing damn well that he was there with him, is the very thing that he needed. That's what made it real for him, in my opinion. And I think now that is why he is the Micah. Listen, I know what you got to say, but we're not trying to get it right.
He's playing the devil's advocate.
Women off. Go ahead. Seriously, and I'm glad that happened, because what young people need to realize, and all of us, is that there is repercussions for your actions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if you do something, you need to think it through. Use your head, but at the same time, like, own it. If you screw up, own it. And I think that is what we're seeing him own it, and him walk in it, and him learn the right way to use his voice and to take action.
Well, I thought he was going to confess initially.
I didn't think.
I thought he was going to say,
you know,
I got to tell, and then like return that into
I will agree. I
a
had
a
had a moment where I was like, okay, this is not the time. I know, listen, this is not the time.
But I think he found his voice, but in doing so, he's put a target on his back when he's got things to hide. And that's, you know, and that's
my issue. That's a good point. And that's the best thing. Like, but that's how you know that it was real. Because when you realize how much you have to risk and how much you have to lose, and you still step in that light, that speaks true strength. Mm-hmm. So that's why I felt like it came from a very authentic, vulnerable thought.
No, I agree.
But
I agree.
I think also he did recognize, like, sometimes we have to recognize what the perception is. He was like, yeah, I'm lucky, right? I'm alive. Yeah, true. I got a mama and a daddy. I come from a complete home. But you still can't judge me and say that I don't have real life experiences, because at the end of the day, I can't take off the skin color.
That was such a great moment when he said that.
Yeah. It was so important. Go ahead.
And it was self-awareness, too, though, that he realized that he was privileged. I was just about to
say, that is what it is. Mm-hmm. Micah, oh my God, this character.
Come on, family. Come on.
This character, Micah, is just such a wonderful human being that we need to see as young people, because he has reached a level of maturity that I don't even think his mother has reached. Let me explain that. Let me explain that. I love Charlie, but there's a level of privilege that she doesn't even realize that she has or that she walks with.
And what is that?
It shows up in everything that she does. For instance, in the way that she decides to handle certain situations. She handles it like a woman who comes from an elite background, who has certain, you know, privileges that other people don't. Or even in the way that she was telling Micah to stay away from his friends and he checked her. Like, if it was the other way around, you wouldn't be handling it in this way. So I think Micah, having seen what happened to his friend, he had that moment of, yes, I've had trauma, but I also realize my privilege. I also realize that I have a mom and a dad. Ooh. And there are people who do not have that. Yeah. They don't have lawyers on call. They don't have mothers like mine. Mm-hmm. He realizes that. And I think that, to come bring it back to Charlie, when she told Romero, when I was in LA, I did not know what community was. Because sometimes you have to change your atmosphere in order to find your purpose, right? Mm-hmm. And kind of walk in that. Yeah. And that's something that Micah is doing at such an early on age that Charlie is not doing till now. Coming back and realizing, like, whoa, I've been using my efforts perhaps in the wrong ways.
And I agree with all. It's just, to me, Micah's like my little brother. And I'm like, look, you just increase your likelihood you're going to jail. Like, they're going to be coming after you now.
You can't be. You can't think about yourself. It's not about him, though.
Honestly, but, I mean, but you're right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I'm just like, you put a target on your back.
I mean, you're absolutely right.
And you know you just did something wrong.
But I will say this. His homeboy is not going to say anything. I don't think his homeboy is going to say anything.
No, I think the police may investigate further. They might, like, try to dig, and then they find out.
They can find what they think they want to find.
I think they're going
to
dig deeper as a result of him being, like, what might be the face of a new sort of movement.
That always happens to our young black people. Yeah. That happens.
We saw at the end of the episode how intimidating, how intentionally intimidating that bad cops, because I won't say all cops. Yeah. I have family members that are cops. Yeah. And in the roughest, shout out Memphis, Tennessee. What up, T? What bad cops that try to set up, that try to intentionally, you know, intimidate to slow down. Yeah. So,
what a moment that was, because you see Ralph Angel, who is always this pillar of strength throughout the entire, and then that's this moment where he is just still kind of like, you see him breathing heavily. He's still the sort of scared child, but he still handles himself like a man. But you see that dynamic that where the powers are so unequal, and you kind of have to subjugate yourself, but still want to assert your rights. You know,
can I, and I don't know if we're moving on to Ralph Angel. But before I forget, can I just say how quick he thought on his feet? Because when he said something about the cameras, I was like,
Are there really
cameras?
No, I don't know if I was all thinking about that Charlie tactics. But he's smart. All rubbing off on each other.
He's a
college
child.
Charlie bought the eye ring.
So kudos if there's not really cameras. Yeah. Hey, you know what? Maybe you should just get cameras the next day to kind of prove your point.
And I want to say this, because as you were talking, a great point just came into my mind about how, and this is a whole other conversation that we can definitely have in the comments. If you guys want to have this in the comments, we can.
This show, man.
But
this show gives us conversations.
I'm telling you, one thing that we cannot be is silenced. Because as you were talking and you were saying about how they're going to attack him now, we still cannot be silenced.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to use your voice. And I come on, as smart as Micah is, he already knows they might just come for me. Yeah. But he said, you know what, regardless of that, I'm still going to stand in my truth and I'm going to use my voice. Yeah, because this prison is going to be filled with people that look just like me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hell, they might even, again, come for me and try and put me in the prison. Yeah. But still, even if he is behind those walls, he still cannot be silenced.
Yeah.
You still write. You still, you know, use whatever you can to put your message out. But because of what he did, that's far greater than the media trying to throw us stones at him and damage him.
Period.
That's far greater.
And that is a tactic to use something negative from your past to discredit you on something that's unrelated.
They always do that.
But at the same time, though,
to do with the truth. But
yeah, truth is the truth.
At the same time, though, I think if we're responsible members of society, we make sure there's not that other thing that they can use.
But that's the thing. People come into politics. Let me tell you, truth is the only. Truth is the only thing that can really move on that frequency of change. That is it. That is the only thing. And I'm saying that in the sense of, like, he knows what's going on. And the fact that he had been silent so long, the second he opened up his mouth and said, ooh, what happened, how many people came out? Do you think you were the first little boy that he did this to?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're not.
I mean, that frees him. That gave him a sense of freedom as well.
And even if they take you to jail today, baby, it's not worth walking around being enslaved, being enslaved to your own trauma, being enslaved to your own perception of the way that this man made you feel. So even if they come to attack him, it's fine because he's walking in freedom.
I do like it.
You can lock me up. It's fine. My mind is free.
If Mike is feeling that same way, then I'm with it.
I'm with it if he's feeling that same way. But if he's not, I mean, you kind of need to remain a free man to fight for the cause.
Yeah,
I definitely feel that in my soul. I do, deep down.
It was an authentic moment for Micah, but I think we get caught in those moments without necessarily realizing, you know, the gravity of them, you know?
Yeah.
And so he's not thinking, oh, this is going to put myself at the face of this sort of potential new movement.
Yeah.
And he's not thinking that. He's sharing his truth.
He's just being honest.
And that was a beautiful moment. But I'm just, like, worried about next season because I'm like, this now kind of puts a target on
me. Yeah, but just like he said, you can't be worried. He can't let his fear or his silence continue to, and this was my sweet, but F it, whatever.
Yeah,
is to continue to protect this man. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, because it's not even about him.
It's about Blue.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like we have to really, in order for change, that people have to really move in that selflessness because that's just what it is.
And we got to move on to Charlie's other triumph. You know, so Micah was the one triumph, and then of course we get the actual showdown with the Landrys. What did you guys think of that? What did you guys think of this dynamic with the sister?
Okay,
I kind of love it because they're like,
Woodrow?
Yeah, I kind of love it because they're women who are like really bonding over the fact that they're secondary.
No, they're not bonding.
This is what I mean when I say Charlie is so confident and she is so confident that she faults being a little more self-aware. And when you come from so much education, so much tactics, she's been running her husband's career for so long, she has this like experience boost that is making her blind to the little things that are going on. In my opinion, Frances Boudreau is one of the greatest villains we have seen on television. I am not playing with you. We're on the third season at the end. Mm-hmm. There's a reason that we haven't seen her for three whole seasons because she's silent. She's deadly. She's dangerous. Mm-hmm. Because I feel as though when she, I think it was like last episode when she walked into Charlie in the bathroom and she was like, oh, that city councilwoman, you know, she might. That's the second she did that, I was like, whoa, this lady is a villain because she knows how to break you from the inside.
Yeah.
She knows how to deliver a slap with a kiss. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's what's happening here. And Charlie is so like wrapped up in the, I'm here. I know what I'm doing. That she's not seeing. I believe in Charlie all the way, but she's not seeing what's to come.
Because I think she's seeing it.
Well,
she's very smart, and she is very calculated.
Yeah, not to cut you off. I think first she didn't, but I think last episode was when Charlie was like, okay. Not that I feel like she gave Frances her full 100% truth, or I'm sorry, trust, but I think she knows this.
I hope she hasn't shown me that she's all the way aware of how bad this lady is. Like, she is worse than her brother, in my opinion.
I think they had a moment, and this is kind of why I liked it, because I thought they bonded as females that were kind of being put in second place in this world, but then there was a moment where it was like, okay, we've gone as far as we can go on that bond, and now it's you versus me. And so what was that line she said? I forget what the line was, but there was that line. Oh, she said, oh, you know, as a woman, we can understand. But it was very disingenuous when she said it. And you could tell that was the awareness of this bond would worked until right now.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, we cannot forget that the Landrys are still Landrys and Charlie is still a beast. Yeah. So at the end of the day, yeah, she has her own agenda, but Charlie does too. And that is what we cannot forget.
Yeah.
One of the things that I was very happy to see was that she got Prosper his land back.
Yeah.
So that was a major win. Yeah, she's like, okay, well, you're going to have to give me some more shares. And Charlie's like, well, okay, well, this is also going to cost you.
Yeah.
And we're going to find out exactly what it's going to cost her next season.
Yeah.
Look, Charlie, I believe, is going to get exactly what she wants, but it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. The Landrys are not going to make it easy. And if we think that, then we really ain't paying attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so like, honestly, I believe in you, girl. I think you're going to come through, but I think that you need to make sure that you are not naive.
That's what
do not course, be naive because I don't trust her. I have never trusted this woman. Don't think just because she's a woman and she gave you that sob story about, oh my God, I've been in my brother's shadows for all these years.
And then because when she told her about the councilwoman, the reason I felt like Charlie hadn't fully caught on, because I agree with you guys completely, but when there was a little bit of hope in her eyes, thinking she believed her. There was a little bit of hope in her eyes.
No, I think she was
Little bit of hope in her eyes to think that, in my opinion, she thought that the councilwoman might actually vote, you know what I mean, in the and narrow.
Oh, wait, you thought she was lying?
Okay, so when Frances Bordereau came and told Charlie, you know, hey, there's a lady on there, but she usually goes the right way.
Yeah.
You know, so there's still a chance.
Yeah.
When we came back to them voting, there was a slimmer of hope in Charlie's eyes that she did believe that. So that's what made me feel as though, lady, you're not fully on to, like, seeing how dangerous this lady is.
No, I thought they were genuinely...
Like, she let her guard down?
Listen.
No, but I thought they
You think that Frances was really trying to help her?
Yeah, because
that's what I'm saying.
Listen, everyone has their own agenda. Her agenda was never to help Charlie. Her agenda was selfish, and it was about herself.
But she didn't want the position.
She wants to be on top. No, her thing is that she wants to be on top. She wants to control everything.
Mm-hmm.
She is jealous of her brother, and that is clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She wants to be where her brother is, and she is using Charlie just like Charlie is using her.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, Charlie needs to make sure she keeps her eyes open.
Exactly.
Don't give her all those shares that she wants.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's what she's trying to do. She's trying to take back those shares from Charlie. She's trying to use Charlie to do her dirty work, which is make her brother look like crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I don't know. For me,
what I think.
Because Frances is telling Charlie, she didn't even want Charlie to handle the leaking of the information. She wants to do it herself because it's going to look really bad if Charlie does it.
Well, that's only it's only because she wants the business. It's like, she doesn't want Charlie to do it just because if she does, then there's no more business for her to control. And I mean, Frances was up front. She was like, I want to make sure and ensure that I have complete control over this. Mm-hmm. I definitely see where you're coming from as far as like not letting any glimmer of hope, like not let her, steer her to be naive.
Mm-hmm.
But Charlie knew from the get-go. She went into this saying, well, why should I trust somebody who goes up against her own brother and her own family? Charlie's not dumb. I mean, it is what it is. I don't think she's completely going to let her guard down.
I think her eyes have been wide open. And from my perspective, but I think they did have genuine moments of connection. And that's why
I think just being two women dealing with the man, I think that's probably their connection.
To me, though, I thought that was powerful because I mean, there are these two women who are on the opposite sides of like everything.
I'm not going to cut you off.
Yeah.
I'll let you finish.
I think it's a truth in society that you can have two women from very different backgrounds that find connection in the fact that across all backgrounds, women have had this history of not being treated the same.
But they have two different agendas and two different beliefs.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's what makes them very different. And that's why I can't look at this and be like, okay, I see you might, you know, two women, you know, working.
Anymore. But I think before I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, so my entire point was just like, listen, Charlie, I believe in you. I know that you know what you're doing, but don't be so confident that you miss the tactics that might be being played on you. Because when you're just overconfident, you're not realizing those things. Because she says that she wants to keep the legacy. She cares about legacy, Miss Frances does.
Yeah.
Cares about the legacy of her father. So, I mean, you think you don't like Sam till you realize
what she... But
does she really, though? That's what I'm saying. She's such a villain.
I don't think she really cares about that. I think she honestly is low key like a little mad at her dad, because maybe her dad showed her brother more love. He left everything like for him.
No, I don't know. I think you guys are villainizing.
I think she's a villain. I agree 100%. I don't trust her.
I don't think she's like a Disney villain.
No, she's a tactful. I don't trust her. I'm telling you, I don't when next season comes around and we see her true colors really reveal, and I really feel like you're gonna come back to this moment. I'm telling you, this is one of the greatest villains we've seen on television because she is so smart.
She's using her womanly ways to get what she wants.
She come in here talking about woman to woman. That is a tool. That is a tactic. Using honesty as a sword. That's what I'm saying. People men do that all the time. I'm trying to be honest with you, woman to woman today.
I'm just saying, I agree with you guys. I think just we saw earlier in the season, there was a moment that they were both so desperate they found that connection, where it's like, you know, we've both been beat up. But
we can talk about it. We got to
move on to the happy part of this episode with Vi in Hollywood. That whole storyline. Vi just had win after win after win. Yes. I was so proud of him. Vi, how'd you guys feel about the restaurant and the new deal?
I just want to say that, yes, Vi, yes. The wedding was absolutely beautiful. Like, oh my gosh, if you have not seen it, make sure you go online, check out all the beautiful photos. They're there. Win after win after win. She's living her best life. The way that Hollywood came through and he bought the high yellow was just such smart. A beautiful and smart way end this episode. I love that.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so there's this quote I heard randomly. If you guys are aware of like Amanda Seale, she's amazing. She said something when she was like, venture to impress yourself. When I think of Aunt Vi, that is literally all I think of. Mm-hmm. And it's just at the end of the day, you never know why you go through certain things, why you did this, why this was the first job she had 20 years and coming all around. But God is the connector of dots. And that's another theme in this episode. Just looking at Aunt Vi's life, that it came full circle like that. Always even does. Looking at Micah's life, that it came full circle like that. That's usually what it is. And I just, I'm so proud of her. And I'm very happy that she is the superwoman that she fought to be all season. She didn't allow anything to derail her. I'm very proud of her.
Not even lupus.
And I love the story she had told about how she went as a waitress in her 40s and she got the job, but she was so grateful for it. Yeah. Because, you know, we're afraid of these new beginnings. We're afraid of going back sometimes or going backwards or feeling that we're going backwards. Yeah. And just to watch her, that she's always kind of walked in that confidence and that grace, the last 20 years at least, you know. Mm-hmm. I just thought we had these beautiful, beautiful moments. And then, of course, we had the surprise wedding out of nowhere.
So surprise. There were secrets. Yeah, there were secrets like online and people. And when I first saw like these little rumors a couple weeks ago, I was like, really? I mean, maybe, but... It was really surprising, even still, me seeing people speculating a couple weeks ago. So it was gorgeous.
I mean, like even just watching them on screen, I was like, "Wait, is this happening now?"
I know,
like,
right? Oh my gosh! Is this a preview of next season?
I know, but watching the entire family come walk out of the cars and going into that wedding scene, all I could think was Remy, you are fleeting.
I think this was a beautiful moment. And then you said the R word. Let me just say what the R represents.
The R represents people who just want to tear your family down, all these outside forces, and it's just like at the end of the day, blood is strong and it runs deep and it runs so, so deep. There's so much love there and there's nothing you can do to break that family apart. So I'm excited to see their fight next season. It's gonna be a fight.
I hope so.
I want to, because Aunt Vi, I know I just want to tell about just to say, you talking about like new beginnings, late age, and stuff like that. It's just a reminder that sometimes, and this is with Micah, this is with Raw, it's kind of a trend throughout the entire season, throughout the entire episode, rather. But sometimes success takes time. Mm-hmm. And there's so many people in this world that mistake time for failure. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that was just a constant reminder for myself. Like every time I look at Vi, I'm just like, you know what? It takes time. Time's not failure. Push forward. And I just wanted to highlight that before we moved on, because it jumped out at me again with Aunt Vi. So, That's real.
At any age, you can accomplish anything.
Yeah.
You can find that love. You can, you know, start that business at any age, no matter what, you know, the devil might try and throw your way.
Absolutely.
You know, whatever distraction, at any age, you can find happiness.
Right. Yeah. I mean, buy in Hollywood. What more can you say? Beautiful love story.
These vows, though. Like,
I'm really holding on to that one because I love you from a well that is so deep.
Ooh.
I love you, but she didn't say, I love you from a well that is so deep, meaning she has been through enough. She has filled herself up so much from the abusive relationship that she had to coming out to here to fighting for her independence and then finding the true love of her life. But being equipped and being the woman who can handle that and who can give that kind of love, that is a vow. I love you from a well that is so deep. I was like, Oh my God.
Line after line after line of those vows. Like both of them. They were just like, oh, I want to tell you you're beautiful every night. I mean, they just have, those would be all the sweet tweets right there.
Right. And you know what? That's the beautiful thing about this episode is we have a sweet tweet segment, but we'll still fill that segment. Even having quoted this entire episode throughout this whole thing. But it's so funny because Black couples everywhere. Hashtag Black love. I feel like these vows are going to be inspired by so many weddings.
I was just about to say, I hope y'all took notes. Okay. Brothers, sisters out there. I hope somebody please, I need y'all to post this on Instagram. Right. Like, if you hear any of these moments from Queen Sugar, please do that because like, I'm just going to love that. I'm going to repost it.
Don't call them out though, you know, because, you know.
We do have to talk about the ominous storyline. That they're obviously setting up for next season. Nova Borelon. Oh. Nova.
Can I just start? Just because not that I defended, but I understood where a few weeks ago we were coming from.
First of all, hold on.
Before you start.
I was on your side. No. We was on the same side.
And before I start, because I'm not a retractable person.
But now you know.
I still stand. No, we don't know.
I'm saying you know where I was coming from.
I understood where you guys were coming from on the weekend.
Let her talk.
Right. I'm just enjoying the
world. Go ahead.
You know I'm light skinned. I'm turning all red because I'm heated.
We were listening to you. Go ahead.
But anyway, I understood where you're coming from the day of, I still stand strong on what I said, but only because we were on one topic during that episode, and it was just solely about her father's suicide. Mm. Now I'm questioning what the hell is in this book.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you need to not print it.
I am very afraid, and I am nervous, and I agree with you. I had your back, but I'm going to be... I think that your friend hit it on the nail.
Yes.
Like, this... What you have in this book is explosive, and to be honest with you, I don't think that it is worth it. Like, your family is in such a great place right now. Everybody is happy. That's the one thing that we've been asking for all season, was for everyone to be happy and to find love and all these things, and now you're going to selfishly put out, and I'm with you. I feel like I'm retracting what I said a few weeks as well. Mm-hmm. It's like you're going to selfishly put that information out because it's your story. Well, what about their stories?
And it's not even hers. That's why I'm upset. And again, I'm not retracting because it was on one topic, but this is not her truth. I feel like telling her pain and telling her father's pain, having a voice to someone who doesn't have a voice, is a completely different story.
Exactly.
But her vigil and her moment of taking down sticky notes, in my mind I'm like, okay, you took down Ra, okay, you took down Micah, okay, you took down Charlie, where is your name? Like, where is your truth?
I feel like Thelmy about to come with.
You know what? I definitely understand where you guys are coming from. I come from a very big family, so I understand what it means to have interwoven, like, secrets and just things along those lines, or traditional secrets, ethnics, just so many things. But enough is enough, okay? And the thing is, your intent truly determines everything. Yeah. Nova is not sitting here from a selfish place trying to bring fame and the New York Times bestseller to herself. She is trying to set people free from their own bondages within their families. Let me get to my point. At the end of the day, I feel like whatever Nova is going to write in that book, it is something that a lot of people can probably relate to, that they've been told to be silent about from their mothers or their mother's mothers or their father's fathers or whatever along those lines. So I feel like if she can tell these stories in a way that isn't
disrespectful.
Okay.
If she can tell these stories in a way that isn't disrespectful, there's nothing wrong with having these conversations that a lot of people, African Americans, do not have.
I'm so
glad that these are the conversations we need to talk about in order to bring healing.
I agree, but at the same time, there is a way to go about doing it. Let your family read this. I agree. There's something about letting out that pain and allowing healing to come in.
All day.
But what we talked about a few weeks ago is there's still a respectful way that it should be done. And I agree. I think that they need to know what type of laundry she's about to air out.
Yeah.
Because a surprise like that, like to read a book, and let's be honest, it's probably going to be a New York bestseller. It's going to be all over the country. But I think that they should know, and she should respect their privacy in doing that.
You know what? And I will just say one thing about Nova. She does do certain things that do come off a little selfish. They do come off a little selfish.
Big selfish.
But I think that Nova is sometimes mostly coming from a place with this book where she feels as though like it's bigger than her and it's bigger than her family.
Your family? Because what does that say about your values and what you really think about family if you're going to just do that? Like, I get it, you're trying to save the world, but you're willing to sacrifice your family in the process?
Yeah,
that says that your values aren't as real as you say that they are. That says that your values aren't genuine.
I think she's a good writer, and so no one's going to dispute, like, whatever she writes in that book is going to help someone else. Like, that's
100%. We're not
disputing. Yeah. What it is that in this family, to not share everything of this nature that you're doing with them is disrespect. The fact that you're not letting them read it at all, that in of itself is disrespect.
And you know
that's
it. Because you know it.
That's Charlie.
You know
it. You're going to bring Remy in the book and talk about how you can, you know, like, that's the kind of stuff that we're talking about here. So I think Nova is walking in her own truth, but her truth has always been about the family, and now she's trying to walk in this truth where it's just about Nova and her catharsis and what she needs, but her truth has always been linked to the family, so you can't walk in your truth if you're not including them.
And they still have a voice.
And so that's where the selfishness is coming from, where she, I mean, I know she's kind of is fooling herself into thinking she's in her truth, but she knows, and I think she'll come to a point where she realizes, but we saw when Aunt Vi said, Nova, this is not like...
Come back to yourself.
Yeah, come back to yourself. Because she saw it wasn't the story, it was the intention. Yeah, you didn't share this with anybody. Yes,
exactly, the intention. And I mean, true enough, she did gift the book to Aunt Vi for her to read at the end of the, at the end of the episode.
Like,
but still, at that point, she already made her call and like, yo, girl, it's ready.
Yeah.
Like, and emailed it off and then printed it so that Aunt Vi could know. Like, I completely agree with you, her intentions. And yes, it will help. But if someone has a voice, work on you
and
first.
I think Nova's going to... I mean, we'll get in predictions later, but I think this will lead to a big wake-up moment for her.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
I was just about to say that.
Everybody, in a bad way.
Yeah.
Oh, in a bad way. Absolutely.
She's never been woke in her personal life.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. Everybody thinks... At least I was under the impression when I first met Nova as a character, I was like, yeah, she got it. She knows what she's talking about. This lady knows herself. She does not.
Yeah.
She does not know herself.
She's the one.
Because she is so busy. When you're so strong, sometimes people are leaning on you so much that you don't get to lean on yourself.
Yeah.
And I feel like Nova is that person.
Yeah.
She's that person who's the first
Come
one that
it.
The first
Come
one
on,
that
tell me.
Tells. You know, the first person who's always there, but she's not realizing how far away she has gotten from herself.
Yes.
So I think that even the way that she put the book out, so I agree with you guys, family is everything and family is number one. And this family's blood is so deep into this land, is so deep into the story, and it's the reason that we are here every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, that's number one, right? So I agree with that completely, which is why I said she has to do it in a respectful way, because there's a respectful way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, Mova is all about truth. She's not gonna sugarcoat things for the world.
Yeah.
But I just really hope that she really understands that she's not there yet. You're not there yet.
Yeah.
After what she did with the R word, it really was a reminder that, like, you have never, you're so busy pointing out everybody else's flaws and helping everybody else that you're not doing the work for yourself. Because last point, the thing that you thought so much that based what you thought about your mom and your parents' relationship, it took Charlie's mom one episode to unravel your entire truth.
Mm-hmm.
And you still haven't gone back to... What does that
unpack
mean for
that,
me
yeah.
to unpack mm-hmm. that? So there's so many moments we've seen with Nova that are just, they abrupt, but they're never really resolved.
Yeah.
And she knows I know she feels it, because if she didn't feel it, like, she knows that she's semi in the wrong, because I feel like if she wanted to really truly come to herself, she'd be like, we're a family, let's talk about this, because they always say, oh, let's come to the table. We talk about things, we air it out. if you truly had good intentions, like, you know, you're in the wrong because you ain't let nobody read your
book. She didn't. Yeah. And she wanted to talk to Charlie about working with the Landry's behind people's backs.
You're going to let your friend read it, but you can't.
Yeah, Regina, right. The actress, like, portrays that hesitancy where she know, like, where you can see she knows it, but, like, without having to say it, right?
Yeah,
you can
exactly. Feel
it, no, she's smart enough to know. And I'm hoping, and I'm going to say this because I think that this is something that needs to be said, but I think that a conversation gets started next season about therapy, about real healing, about how to really get to that place where you can really like get that freedom that you need. Because I think right now she's searching for that, but I really do think that writers, hopefully next season, that we can create that conversation. Mm-hmm. Because mental health in the Black community is real. The whole what happens in my house stays in my house, and that's why we have so many broken people. We have been led to believe that therapy is such a horrible thing. Let's get that conversation started, and I'm hoping that maybe she can start that conversation by actually taking the steps to go next season.
Yeah. And different avenues of therapy. Because people think, oh, therapy is just let me go talk to this person that does not look like me because they're more qualified. Let me go pay all of this money. That's not it. There's different ways of therapy. There's support groups. There's resources. There's local journalism, even though Nova's taken the completely different. There's different avenues.
So
It starts with the conversation. So I will say that I'm proud of Nova because it takes a lot. You know, I it might not seem like it, but she loves her family so much, and it takes a lot to be that brave. So I definitely think that she has some work to do within herself so she can recognize these faults that we're pointing out that she's not really seeing right now. But I still stand behind her intent being not to harm. She knows that there's going to be collateral damage, but I know that her intent truly is to elevate the Black community. Yeah. You know, with this book. So I can't fault her for that.
And I think we forget sometimes we jump into these people's lives, you know. So like when we met Nova, we thought she was a strong woman, but we didn't realize we were jumping to the part of her life where she's like searching and into like trying to figure out what's happening. I remember the whole entire first season, I was like, why is she with this married man? She's a strong woman. Like, it just didn't fit.
Because she's woke and she's in the community, and we're like, oh, she's woke. She knows what's going on.
But then she kept making decisions. Yeah.
But she was different so way. Broken. Yeah. She was so broken. She had just sent Too Sweet to jail. We didn't even... She was doing so much for Too Sweet season one. We're like, wow, she really... No, but it took a lot later for her to realize, I'm the reason you went to jail. So it's like, again, she's so broken, and she's continuously not really like diving
and
into
that's
that.
A conversation to be had as well, because I think that sometimes that when we see people that come off as so strong and powerful that they don't have any flaws, so that's a conversation in itself. Is that a lot of the people, for example, you know, a lot of people look at the pastor as the person that's supposed to be perfect, but like, again, everybody has issues that they are still dealing with, and nobody is perfect. So like we can't necessarily come at her from a judgmental place, but we can only hope and pray that she sees the error of her ways.
Yeah, she's just making I mean, and to me, she still has not even really acknowledged how bad the whole Remy thing was.
That's what
she
still hasn't
even
acknowledged. Can I just make one note about the R word? I know you guys really like the new R word, Romero. That's his name.
That's the new one, right?
Yeah. I know you guys really... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, just to end, like, on Nova, if just a wide awakening, I know we'll get to predictions, but like you mentioned, if you don't stop and slow down and realize, God's going to stop and make you realize. So he's going to make you stop. So, but yeah. But Romero.
Okay, so.
That was a beautiful little scene for Charlie.
I don't know if it was good.
This is the thing. I love my girl Charlie, but I feel like everyone they bring to her is underwhelming and not up to par. Let me say this. When I was watching, I know. Oh my God.
I mean, the
looks
chemistry.
That I'm getting.
No,
okay.
I feel you.
So it was okay. But, you know, when Charlie met the R word, Remy, he... we're at such a special time, right? Ernest just passed away, and he knew Ernest, and you know, so there was such an innate intimacy between the two of them. They didn't have to do too much work for that. And so when I was watching her Romero, it was very obvious, right? That like innate connection that she had to Remy, not just outside of the fact that they were both mourning, but they were both mourning somebody that they both knew very intimately. So that like that foundation didn't seem to be there for me with her and Romero. I thought it was cute. I thought it was nice. But I feel like there's going to have to be a lot of work to build what her and Remy had.
I think, even though I wasn't a fan of her and Remy, I will say her and Remy had a different thing. They had something different.
Exactly. And honestly, I think sometimes different is good. I think that what she needs, like, when I saw them, what I saw is I felt like he took her back to that high school love, that puppy love, that genuine, non-judgmental love, that's not so hard. That's easy. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what she needs, because this whole entire season, it's been so hard for her. Mm-hmm. She's had so many things thrown at her, and she just needs somebody that she could just like take her feet, you know, just sit back and just relax and just have a sigh of relief. A man that can cook for her, that can cater to her, because she deserves that. She needs that. She needs somebody to be that for her. Yeah. So to me, this different is good. It's exactly what she needs, and it seems like it's a breath of fresh air. Yeah. So you know what? Enjoy it and see what it's about.
I just think we literally have not seen her like this in any scene since the beginning of the series.
No, you're not wrong. And one thing that I will add to what you're
saying. I haven't seen her like this.
You're absolutely right. And one thing that I will add to what you're saying, it's just different, right? Yeah. From the intense kind of like connection she had with Remy, even though I was not a fan of his. But one thing I will add to what you're saying is just like Charlie has also done a lot of growing and a lot of actually pointing out her flaws on like other people on the show.
Yes,
so I think it's really refreshing when you have new relationships, whether friendships or, you know, partners that come into your life when you've done a little bit more of
and
the
you're
work.
Truly ready.
Yeah.
Like vibe.
When you've done
Hollywood.
A little bit more of the work. So now they can come into the new you, the fresh you, the you that has done the work. You can leave that in the past and it's like get to know the new me and meet me here.
Yeah.
So when you said when you were talking, I was like, you know what, girl, that's true, because I don't want anybody to come
right now.
Like I don't want anybody that's not fresh.
No.
I agree. I appreciate that. I'm gonna play devil's advocate just a little bit and I know we gotta move on, but 2 points for Romero for me.
1-2
chemistry. I don't know. It's cute. Yes, I loved that kiss. Don't get me wrong. I just hope the chemistry, the true authentic chemistry is there. And we don't know this backstory yet. And I'll just pocket that for predictions. That's it.
But everything doesn't always have to come from a bad place.
Yeah. You're right.
He could simply just be a guy that moved out here. His family's, you know, in another country. He has nobody. He works all the time. And he just needs somebody in his life, just like she needs somebody.
But what I'll
say
is,
in real life. Yeah, the only reason why I'm saying
it is because
it's a show.
This is the way he popped up trying to fix.
I believe in fairy tales. I believe in fairy tales.
He really showed up out of nowhere when they met. I was like, sir,
I thought he was a plant. We all thought he was like a Landry plant. But I will say there was something they did with the music in that scene where they sometimes they have the music, and for me sometimes I love Queen Sugar, I love the scoring, but sometimes I think it's like on a little too long. You know what I mean? Like the background music on a little too long. They cut it real short, and there's a lot of space, and I felt they really connected, and watching them kind of play and hearing their echoes in the room and their voices. I don't know, I thought that kind of like lent itself to a genuineness of
don't take doing. This
I thought I saw the connection more because it cut it off early. I don't disagree with you. It's like it was cute. That's what I'm saying. It was cute. There's still a lot of work to do for them to build that emotional like the way it was. I'm just comparing it to the other R word, but I'm just saying like it's gonna take a lot of time.
They're at the very beginning. It's one of those clean beginnings you don't get when you're like in Charlie's age at that time.
Right. Yeah.
That's like a high school love that you're starting to see me.
Because
blossom.
he's not always around. You don't live with me. You're not my neighbor. You're not constantly around because you have all these connections to my family.
And part of all the mess that I've been involved in.
Yeah, it's like take it step by step. Well, so we'll see. I'm interested.
Well, let's jump into our sweet tweets. We've got a little bit of time left.
No,
so
no.
We're one sweet tweet per person. We're going rapid fire round.
Only one?
Let's do it. Yeah, so one sweet tweet.
Yeah, he said fire round?
Rapid fire.
Tequila? You'll start with that.
Yeah,
right
around.
Me?
Okay.
Yeah.
Come on.
You got it.
I'll just say, let me say a quote. Right now, I'm bleeding.
Oh.
That was by Micah during his speech. So just a rapid fire from me. You can't always see someone's pain. And so the moment that he took to tell his truth, I loved it. Right now,
beautiful.
I'm bleeding. You can't see it, but I'm finally opening that door so that giving you a little light to shine that you can see it.
Mm. Amen.
Girl, that was a good
Come
one.
On.
Sweet, sweet.
I'm bleeding. Oh, and he stopped too. Such a good speech. So for me, I guess my sweet tweet would have to be, okay, we're going to do one. Okay. My sweet tweet would have to be when Nova said to Micah, it's great to have friends, but sometimes in a leader, you have to go alone. And that's just what it is. And that's exactly what's going on. It's great to have friends. It's great to have people, family, who's going to support what you're doing. But sometimes they're not going to see it till the battle is won. Mm-hmm. Look at Charlie. Look at this season. So I'm with you, Nova. I mean, I'm not. Don't be disrespectful, sis. Don't be disrespectful. But I'm all about telling the truth and telling in a way that can free other people.
Okay, Nova. So my sweet tweet is dedicated to Ralph Angel. And I just want to say that I think that the moment that he had, I got to go back to the beginning of the episode, and it's simply because I have brothers and that have been in trouble. And when he said, "Here one day, gone tomorrow, you're worth something," I feel like black men need to hear that. And when he said, "When I look at y'all, I see new beginnings, choices." I agree, and I hope all of our young black men that have watched this, that have dealt with you know, turmoil on the inside and dealt with things in society, your life is worth it. I dedicate that to my two little brothers. Your life is worth it. To all my little brothers that's watching this right now, I hope that you see that and you know that.
Amen.
Y'all know I'm emotional. I'm not going to cry.
No, seriously, go out and vote, please. Seriously.
Right. On that note, go vote.
Don't even let y'all know what's going on in Georgia right
Crump
now.
Come through, Shaka. Mine will be the tweet. I mean, the
Take
tweet.
Take us home, Shaka.
Let's see if I got this right. Vi says to Hollywood, your spirit flies so high that even on your worst day, you improve everyone else around you. And I just was like, that is love. And just that, the spirit flawed. Of that person, right? Yeah, the spirit of that person that can still bring up other people around them on their worst day. Yes. And that's who he's been for Vi every single day.
That's who he's been for everyone. Yeah. His ex-wife. He had his ex-wife still taking care of her. Hollywood is a man.
Even
okay?
Ralph Angel, he's been lifting up times. Oh, yeah. So.
Hollywood is wonderful. And I just love that in this show. Sorry, last thing. It's just you have such strong women, such wonderfully strong women, but you have such strong men, down to blue, strong men all around, and it's not one for the cost of the other. Yeah. You know, you don't have to have strong women who belittle strong men. Like, it's a wonderful, I'm obsessed with
it. I love this show. We love this family.
Can I just say that our live chat right now is throwing out superlatives? Nice. They have literally superlatives. Can you read some of these? This is hilarious. Okay, so Doran said, "Who is tonight's MVP?" And they said, MVP goes to Micah. And they have a runner up. Most improved character is Darla.
Nice. So proud of her.
Yep. So there you go, guys. We got some superlatives. Thank you, live chat. Great.
I do want to call out Doran. Also commented that he subscribed. So thank you.
And before we go into predictions, I was going to read this little piece from On the Pulse of Morning, which, so hopefully this will set the stage for season four. But this was kind of towards the end of it. History, despite its wrenching pain, cannot be unlived, and if faced with courage, need not be lived again. Lift up your eyes upon the day. Lift up your eyes upon the day breaking for you. Give birth again to the dream. And I think what we got in this episode was so much of like new beginnings that could really blossom into beautifulness the next season. So we'll talk about predictions and see what you guys think.
If faced with courage.
Yeah.
That's the part. That part. So,
I'm hoping for a happy season next season four. I like seeing this family happy. Like I normally like drama, but I enjoy seeing this family just like there are weddings and we're having, you know, birthday. I love this.
You know this is TV. Honestly,
the pain of this season was so necessary. I literally took mantras from this season. Like, come back to yourself. I might get that tatted off.
Listen, the way our writers are set up,
come through with predictions.
We're going to start with you this time. I always start with Takira, so last episode, I'll start with you.
Okay. Wow, man. Okay. Let's see. So, I feel like the Landrys, I feel like that woman, Frances, I think that she is their secret weapon. I think that she, it's simply because Charlie doesn't really... she sees her coming, but I don't think she really see her. So mm-hmm. I think that she is literally being used right now. I think that Frances has her own agenda. She's trying to take out both Charlie and her damn brother same time. So I just hope that Charlie is smart enough to see that. She's really smart, but I hope that she sees the snake slithering through the grass.
Oh, yeah. Girl, you said that so wonderfully, because that's literally my entire point, period. Like, she needs to get it together. For me, predictions. Honestly, I think my prediction will have to be around Darla and Ralph Angel. And I really actually hope that they can salvage their relationship, because, again, when we look at Ralph Angel and we look at Blue, we realize what is blood, right? What is genetics? Because the love between them is so strong. The love between them is so strong, I didn't even question for a second that was his son, too. They told us that was not his son. So mm-hmm. I feel like when it comes to him and Darla, and they were sitting on that bed, you could feel it when he was like, I want you to be good. She wants you to be good. And it's like, sometimes people make mistakes. Can we not just love people through their human ways? You know, so for me, it would be wonderful to see Darla and Ralph Angel come back together. It would be something that's important for the world to know that, like, you can mess up, but people will still love you through that. That's what unconditional love looks like, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, right. That's me.
Unconditional love, I believe in it, but you can also love and let go.
Yeah.
my prediction is kind of the same one as last week. Ralph Angel got really good news, 30 days, but we didn't end the season with those 30 days. Mm-hmm. I think the police, him starting the episode in bars, him ending the episode with the police intimidation, I think that is going to blow up. He will get arrested again. Yeah. It is what it is. And I know you'll touch on the book probably with Nova, but I'm going to ditto in advance because I'm sure that she'll bring that up on her book. It's going to blow up. It's going to blow up in her face.
What I have, Charlie, I think Charlie is actually going to win. I think Charlie's going to win everything professionally. I think she's not going to have to even worry about the Landry woman. I think she'll make a play, but I think Charlie's got it. I think we're going to see upheaval in her personal life. I think Romero may actually have something with her, but I think her ex is going to come back in too, Davis. And so,
I'm about to say which one.
But I think Davis will play a role. I think Darla and Ra, there was a moment where for a second I was like, oh, I kind of want them back together, but then I remember the lie. And so they've got such good chemistry that, like, you kind of want it for them, but no, you can't come back from that. And remember, Blue's got a daddy. Ooh. And he may come a calling.
Quick question to me, Shaka. Do you think that she knew the entire, she know, you guys know that she knew for a fact? Because at the when Ralph Angel said that he took the test, she seemed like she was shocked to know the results
She didn't know, like, she had not seen a genetic test, but she knew that there was a possibility. And then you look at the kid. This is Blue don't look like Ralph.
Okay, look at first of all. Like that. She's light skinned and my baby can come out any color. So I'm just saying.
And I would have been like, this is probably not you. If I have a question of paternity and it doesn't look like you,
that baby don't look like him at all.
And then, of course, I think the book is going to be the major thing for season 4. I think it'll be the major driver of tension for season 4.
Yes.
And we don't even know, like, we think we know the secrets, but we really don't.
I think Aunt Vi's going to slap Nova.
I hope she does, because Nova deserved a slap after she did what she did with the R guy.
I think we're going to get a Nova breakdown.
We need a Nova breakdown. She has to bring down another Nova to rise up.
Nova needs a Nova breakdown. Aunt Vi might embarrass the heck out of Nova.
I hope so. Put your hands on her.
We are looking forward to next season. Again, guys, thank you for joining us. It's been a wonderful ride. Again, my name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong. We can talk about season 4, talk about season 3, whatever you guys want to talk about.
Oh, you know what I want to talk about? I don't want to leave. Oh, my gosh, this has been such a great season, and I cannot wait till next season, guys. As always, it's always been a pleasure to join you. I am Miss Canterbury. You can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Sweet Candor TV.
Yes, and I'm Thelma and Baisley Daniels. Always a pleasure filling in for the Sally Cell. And I will see you guys. If you want to talk to me, you can talk to me on Instagram at Thelmy.
And Takira Shabray here. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Takira_Shabray. You can also catch me, if you're a mystery lover, you know, but you can catch me on Thursdays on the Center after show. So find me there too.
We'll see you guys next season.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
You later.
Buzz you later, folks.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only, not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.